difficult place for them to be in. We don't always understand, but we know God never makes a mistake. And so just pray for the family and the needs there. Luke chapter 5, I want to read the first 11 verses, and I want you to follow along with me. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all, followed him. And let's pray. Lord, once again, we thank you for this time, this place, this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for this church and the opportunity to pastor these great people. Now we need you once again. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be evidenced in this place. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the word as it's preached. And we need our hearts to be open and receptive that you might speak to us individually. That our hearts would be tender towards the Holy Spirit and obedient to what you would have us to do. Teach us those things we need to learn. Convict us of those things we need to change. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled this, Keys to Spiritual Success. Keys to Spiritual Success. The events in our text for today apparently occurred very early in the 3.5-year ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke, in his narrative here, has placed these events shortly after Jesus' temptation in the wilderness that we talked about in Sunday school, and after he had traveled through several cities doing miracles in each of those places. So he had been tempted, and then he went out doing ministry and doing miracles. Now he's at the shore of the Lake of Gennesaret. The crowds are pressing upon him, the Bible tells us. He looks around and he sees some empty ships or boats there. And the owners of them, he makes sure to tell us, were apparently out of those ships mending their nets, washing their nets. The Bible goes on to tell us at that point that Jesus entered Simon's ship, Simon Peter. And he said to Peter, he said, I want you to launch out a little. And he wanted that so that he could sit in the ship and teach the people without being thronged. And so he sat down in the ship, and the Bible says he was able to teach the people. Now when Jesus was finished speaking, the Bible says he commanded Simon to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, Simon's response was what I would call the natural expected response of the natural or human thinking person. He didn't use these words, but in his response, he said to Jesus, That don't make sense. It's just a waste of time. It's just a waste of effort. We have fished all night. We caught nothing. However, as we read, Simon continues with the words there, nevertheless. Nevertheless, he says, at thy word I will let down the net. Peter says, we fished all night, we caught nothing. Nevertheless, if you tell me to, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'll let down the net. As we read on, we learn that the obedience of these men resulted in a great success for them. They caught more fish than they could handle. They actually had to call another ship to help them to take the abundance of fish that they caught. Now this morning, I believe every one of us wants to experience great spiritual success in our lives. I really believe that we all, as believers, desire to do great things for God. I don't think any of us wants to go to our grave knowing we were utter failures in the Christian realm. And so this morning, I want to take this passage and I want to share with you some what I believe are keys that are revealed to us here that will help lead us to spiritual success. Keys to spiritual success. Key number one, recognizing the limitations of human efforts. That's a key to spiritual success. Look at verse 5. Simon answering unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Peter and the others had fished all night long. Peter is saying, we put in the time, we put in the effort, humanly speaking. All night long. I don't know if you've ever been on a night fishing trip. I've never been on an all-night one, but I've been out fishing at night sometimes. You know, night can get pretty long. But I'm assuming they set out somewhere around dark. And they headed out with those ships and those nets. And they let down those nets, and all night long they stayed at it. He even says, we toiled all night. They worked hard. They gave their best effort. They gave it everything they had, I believe is what he's saying. But it's interesting that we read, he testifies that they came up empty. They caught nothing. You know, that's frustrating. I remember a few years ago, I went to Florida and my son Bill had purchased a boat. So it was about 7 o'clock one evening, he shows up with the boat. And we're at my daughter Angela's house. I'm with my son-in-law. And I said, what's up? They said, we're going shrimping. This Yankee never went shrimping. I said, we're going now? It's 7 o'clock. Yeah, we're going. Okay, whatever. I'm with you, you know. So I got ready to go. We got in the car and headed down there. And we got the boat. We had some trouble getting the boat in the water. That's a whole other story. But anyway, we finally got the boat in the water about 9 o'clock. And it's dark. And I'm not used to being on the river at dark. But okay, these guys say they know what they're doing. And we launch out. And we head down the river, and it takes us about an hour to get where we're going. And we anchor up, and what do we do now? They say, well, we got this cast net. And they throw the cast net out there. And they pull it in. I said, that's how you catch shrimp? Yeah, cast net. You get the, and there's a special way you hold it there. You throw it out there, and you bring it in, and you bring the shrimp in. Want to try it? I said, no, I'll watch you guys. Well, really, my son Bill was a novice. Doug had done a little bit of it. And I watched them, and I watched them, and I watched them, and then they moved the boat. We have to go another place, and I watched them, and I watched them. To make a long story short, we toiled for about 4 hours. You ready for this? They caught one shrimp. They pulled in the net the one time, and bless his heart, it must have been a retarded shrimp. I don't know. One little shrimp. And I'm saying to them, there's got to be something more fun than this, you know. But they toiled, and man, those guys, they were throwing that net and moving the boat and doing all this stuff, and they get one little shrimp. That was frustrating. And you come in, you know, middle of the night, man, I've been out in the river catching shrimp. What'd you get? One. So I can a little bit identify with them. They gave it their all. They came up empty. You know what strikes me about this? These were experienced fishermen. These were not novices like I was. These guys knew what this is what they did for a living. And they fished all night. And they caught nothing. They had used all their human skills. They had used all the fishing knowledge they had. They had done everything they knew to do to catch fish. Came up empty. I said all that because I want you to understand, spiritual success does not come by human abilities. Spiritual success can only come by spiritual enabling. Zechariah 4:4, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. See, we need to understand if we're going to have any kind of spiritual success, all that we hope to achieve spiritually must come through the power of Jesus Christ in our life. He's the one who said in John 15, without me, ye can do nothing. He wants us to understand it's not your abilities, it's not your wisdom, it's not your intelligence. If anything's going to be accomplished spiritually, it's by His power and His enabling. We can't depend on our abilities. Listen, I hope you have some intelligence. You may have intelligence, maybe you're gifted in speech, maybe you have good looks or personality, maybe you have good talents, I don't know. But I know this, to achieve anything spiritually, none of that is going to matter. What's going to matter is the power of the Holy Spirit working through you. When we depend on our abilities, we are doomed to failure. So you want to be a spiritual success? We need to understand the limitations of human efforts. It's all in the power of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, not in our abilities. Number two, we can have spiritual success by obeying God's Word without hesitation. I like what Peter said there. We've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Peter was willing to obey the Lord without hesitation. Now he rehearsed what they had done and their empty results. But Peter was willing to obey the Lord without hesitation, even though it didn't seem to make sense. Now put yourself in Peter's shoes. And in his mind, launching out into the deep and letting down a net is going to be an exercise in futility. They were fishermen. They knew how to fish. They knew where the fish were. They had given their best effort. Obviously, the fish just were not there right now. But we'll do whatever you say. Peter and the others at that point are now required to follow by faith. See, that's what following by faith is, even though when it don't make sense. Even though it seems like a futile exercise, they're willing to follow, just believing Jesus. And we need to learn to obey the Lord without hesitation. Even when it don't make sense. Listen, I've learned a lot of times what God says to do don't make sense, humanly speaking. I remember when I got saved and God began to burden my heart with this idea of tithing. We were in debt. I mean, we were scraping to get by every week. We were living in that place where there's more month than there is money. And God began burdening me about giving 10% of everything we earned. And I thought, this don't make sense. But the more Pastor Fedena preached about it, and the more God dealt with my heart about it, the more I decided this is what we need to do. And I remember one day I said to my wife, I believe we need to start tithing. She said, I believe we should too. I remember seeing Pastor Fedena at the door, shaking his hand. I said, I want you to know God's burdened us about this idea of tithing. Oh, great, he said. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you're listening to the Lord. And I asked that question. Everybody seems to ask. Well, now do I tithe on the gross or the net? Why do we always want to cheat God? He said, well, what did God give you? So he gave me the gross. He said, that's what you tithe on. Amen. Now, it didn't make sense. When you added it up, if you sat down with an accountant who wasn't saved and said, this is wrong, he'd say, you're nuts. But you know, God began to help us to get out of debt. He began to help us to take care of our bills. See, we need to learn to follow God even when it don't make sense. I couldn't help but think about Gideon. He's one of my heroes in the Bible, and I'm just so impressed with his faith. There he is going to go face 135,000 Midianites. And God reduces his army down to 300 men. And then God says, here's what I want you to do. The Midianites are down in the valley. I want you to take your 300 men. I want you to get some pitchers and some lamps and some bugles. And I want you at night to go up there and surround them. And at the given time, I want you to break those pitchers and blow those trumpets. You think that made sense? Lord, there's 135,000 of them with swords and weapons. You want me to take my 300 men and go up there with pitchers and bugles? But he did it. And at the given signal, they broke the pitchers and they blew the bugles, and the enemy got so confused they started fighting among themselves, killed themselves. And what was left, Gideon pursued after and was able to wipe them out. Didn't make sense, did it? But he just believed God. And he did what God said to do, even though it didn't seem to make sense. You know, many times we just got to trust the Lord and act by faith and do what He commands. You know, He says His ways are not our ways. You ever read about Jesus? That one time when He needed tax money, He told Peter, go fishing. You're going to catch a fish, there'll be a coin in his mouth. Now, does that make sense? But Peter went fishing, and guess what? There was a fish that he caught. You know what the fish had in his mouth? He had a coin to pay taxes. Aren't you glad Peter didn't say, that don't make sense, Lord, I'm not doing it? But how often do we say, that don't make sense, Lord, I'm not going to do it, and the blessing is missed? We want to understand everything. Somehow we think everything ought to make sense. But let me tell you, I found out if everything makes sense and I can understand everything, then it's not living by faith. Because faith is stepping out where I cannot understand. Faith is stepping out where I cannot see. Faith is stepping out on nothing but God's Word. And that's where He wants us to be. We can seek spiritual success by recognizing the limitations of human efforts, and by obeying God's Word without hesitation, and then by being willing to leave our comfort zone. Wow. Look at verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Picture this. Here's Peter and the others. They're in the dock area. No doubt the dock area is in some little creek or somewhere where it's away from the ravages of the open sea. This is where it's calm. This is where it's comfortable. This is where the water isn't deep. This is the nice area. But Jesus says, I want you to leave this place of security. I want you to leave this place where it's calm. I want you to leave this place where you feel safe. And I want you to launch out into the deep. The deep water. He had to launch out into the place where the storms and the fierce winds and the waves were a danger. He had to leave that comfort zone. And I said all that because I want you to understand this. If we're really going to be successful in our Christian life, we have to be willing to leave our comfort zone and launch out into the deep. See, that deep is the place where there are risks. Everything is not for sure. That deep is that we go where there may be difficulty or danger. That deep is to go where it may be uncomfortable or inconvenient. I couldn't help but think about foreign missionaries. These are people who I believe launch out into the deep. They leave the comfort zone that they're in. The comforts of home, the comforts of America, the comforts of our government and all that we have here to meet our needs and the life of comfort and ease that we have here to go to a foreign country, many times third world. Think about people like the Ottensons. They went to New Guinea. They've gone to a place, they've taken their little baby and they've gone to a place where there's no roads. You have to hike back in to get to where they're going. Days. Why? God burdened their heart to reach a people in New Guinea. And they're willing to leave the comfort zone to do what God said to do. Think about the many missionaries who have done that and gone and seen great and mighty things done for the Lord because they were willing to leave the place where it's so comfortable. And I believe one of the reasons that the work of the Lord is not getting done in our society today is people are not willing to leave that place of comfort. People are not willing to launch out. And by the way, people need to be willing to go where the fish are. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. Why? Because that's where the fish are. Jesus knows where the fish are. So He tells him to go where the fish are. And you know, as believers, we need to learn to go where the fish are. I'm talking about going to the hard places, the places that are steeped in religion. You know, we live in one. We live in a very difficult place here. Because the people in our communities are steeped in religion. They're Catholic, they're UCC, they're Lutheran, they're this, they're that, they're the next thing. But they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's a hard place, but friend, the only way they're going to hear is if we get out there and take the message. Launch out into the deep. Leave the comfort zone of your living room. Leave the comfort zone of your family and go out and talk to somebody. We need to go to the scary places like the ghetto and the jailhouse and the rescue mission. And we also need to go to the affluent places where the message is disdained. But we need to go. Fourthly, if we want spiritual success, we can achieve it by persevering through disappointment and fatigue. Now think again, these are real people, Peter and the others. They have fished all night. They were tired. How many of you ever worked a night shift? Well, I did. A lot of years. I worked, I think, 8.5 years straight, night shift. I got off at 7 a.m. And I want to tell you, there were a lot of days I just could not wait to get home to go to bed. I was tired. Worked all night. So I'm thinking about these fishermen. Now, they've come in from fishing all night. Sun's up. They're doing what they have to do to get ready to go home. They have to wash their nets and everything before they go. And I think they're on the verge of going home and going to bed. And here comes Jesus. They had fished all night. They're disappointed. They're not just tired. They're disappointed because they fished all night and achieved nothing. Jesus says, I want you to go back out. What? I want you to launch out into the deep. We've already been out there, Master. We fished all night. There's nothing out there. Fish aren't biting today. Huh? But I like what I read. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll do what you say. I'm glad Peter and the others didn't let their disappointment and their fatigue and their tiredness and everything hinder them. As believers, we need to learn that we have to persevere through the trials and testings of life. We need to learn that we need to obey the Master regardless of what our life situation is. Can I just say this to you? Your life situation is no excuse for disobeying the Lord. I don't know why Christians sometimes get the idea that because your life situation is tough and hard or difficult or whatever it might be, that you now have the option of just disobeying God. That's not so. We're to disobey no matter what's going on in our life, or we're to obey no matter what's going on in our life. We never have a right to disobey. I'm glad that Peter and the others obeyed. Seems like too many Christians get weary in well-doing and they faint. That means they fall away. Go over to Galatians 6, verse 9. I want to show you a promise there. In Galatians 6, 9, it says this, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's the promise. Don't quit. Stay at it. God's going to give you the victory. How many times have we felt like we don't want to go soul winning because we're tired and frustrated? But we go anyway. And you know what it seems like? It seems like when we go, we're tired, we're frustrated, and we don't really feel like going, and God says, you need to go, and we say, okay, I'm going. That's the time God blesses us. We get to see somebody come to Christ. And then we come back kicking ourselves, saying, why did I ever feel that way? Huh? How many times have we felt like giving up on our Sunday school class, giving up working on the bus route, maybe even giving up just coming to church? Well, I don't feel like going to church today. I think I'll just stay home. And you say, well, I know God wants me to go. And you come, and that's the very day God has the preacher to preach on what you needed. And he plowed down your road the whole time. You're wondering who told him. Huh? See, I've learned this. Spiritual success often lies just beyond fatigue and disappointment. Finally, we need to seek spiritual success by relying on God to do the miraculous. I like the end of this story. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Wow! Here's Peter and his companions. They obey the Lord and they do what they can. They launched out into the deep. They cast the net. By the way, it's the same thing they had done all night. But the results are different now. See, now they experience the miraculous. Why? Because now the Lord's in it. Now it's Him. It's at His direction. They're following Him and trusting Him and doing what He said to do. And now the net's full. So full, they have to call for help. So full, they have to get another ship. And between the two ships, they're almost sinking. And you see, as believers, we need to be willing to do as God commands us. Follow by faith. And then we need to expect God to do the miraculous. There's an old saying, God is not going to do for us what we can do for ourselves. Did you get that? God's not going to do for us what we can do for ourselves. See, it's when we come to the end of ourselves that God steps in. It's when it comes to that place where we need the miraculous that God comes and steps in and does the miraculous. But you know, if we're not going to obey Him, if we're not going to launch out into the deep, if we're not going to be willing to let down the net by faith, God's not able to do the miraculous. Think about this. How about if Peter and his buddies would have said, Lord, we've toiled all night long. We're tired. We've cleaned the nets. It's time to go home. Now, if you want to come back tonight, we'll take you out and we'll go wherever you want to go. What do you think would have happened? They would have missed the blessing. See, a lot of Christians have that kind of a spirit. The Lord says go, the Lord says do, the Lord impresses their heart, and they say, well, wait, Lord. Let's do it this way, Lord. Instead of just being obedient and following by faith, even though it don't make sense, and they miss the blessing. I'm glad these fellas said, all right, we're tired, we've labored, but we're just going to do what you told us to do and trust you for the results. And that's what God wants us to do. Lean on Him. Here's the question today. Do you desire to have great success in your Christian life? I do. Paul said that one of the things he was concerned about was that he would never be a castaway. And when he's talking about that, he's not talking about losing his salvation. He's talking about when he would have to stand before the Lord and be of no account. I don't ever want to have to stand before the Lord and be of no account. I don't want to have to be ashamed. I want to be successful in my Christian life. Not successful for me, for Him. And here's some keys on how we can do it. I believe we see them right here. But how many Christians are willing to follow? You desire to see great and mighty things done in your life and through your life. If so, will you apply the principles, the precepts that we've seen here today? That God might use you to have great success in your Christian life. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around, nobody's talking. I believe God, by His Holy Spirit, is speaking to some hearts here today. Some people who truly, truly desire to have spiritual success in their life. They want to accomplish great things for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not for their glory, for His. They want to be used of Him to bring others to Christ. They want to see great victories in their life. And Lord, today we've seen some keys that we must follow. And I pray that folks here today would surrender themselves, submit themselves to You, Father, that they could have that success. with heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder how many believers here today would say, "Preacher, I really do want to have great success in my Christian life. I have a desire to be successful for the Lord, not for my glory, for His. To accomplish things for Him, to see people saved, to help people by discipleship, to see Him use my life to His praise and glory. I really want that today. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? That's my desire. That's my goal. That's what I want my life to be all about. Being successful for the Lord." I wonder how many believers today would say, "Preacher, I believe that right now my life is a life that's successful for the Lord. I'm seeing God do great and mighty things in my life and through my life. Here's a testimony. My hand is a testimony. Would you hold it up high? God's using you. God's working through you. God's doing great and mighty things through your life. Put it down." I wonder how many would say, "Preacher, I want God to do great and mighty things through my life, but I haven't been putting myself in that place where I can have success. There are some things in my life that need to change. God has pinpointed some things today that need to change in my life that I might be the success He wants me to be spiritually. I'm making a decision today. As God is my help, I'm going to change those things. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. I want to be that success God wants me to be. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high?" You can put it down. Is there somebody here today to say, "Preacher, I can't be a success in my Christian life because I'm not even saved. I don't know for sure if I died right now I'd go to heaven. But I want to know. And preacher, today I'd like somebody to take the Bible and show me how to be saved. Would you pray for me, preacher, that I get saved today? I'd be glad to." Would you just slip your hand up indicating who you are, where you are? I'll not call your name. I'll not come to you and embarrass you. I want to pray for you. "That's me, preacher. I need to be saved today. I need to know Jesus Christ as my Savior so I can know I'm going to heaven and my sins are forgiven. I'm burdened about it. Here's my hand." Anyone at all? Let's stand together. 485? 89. We're going to have a song of invitation. Listen carefully. Number one, if you're not saved, as soon as we start to sing, I want you to slip out of your seat. Come and meet me right here. I'll shake your hand. That won't save you. But it will let me put you with a man if you're a man, a lady if you're a lady, who can take you to a quiet place over here and show you right from God's Word how you can know you're going to heaven when you die. Your sins are forgiven. You have eternal life. It's not our opinion. It's not just what we think. It's what God says. Same friend of mine, you want to be successful? God's burdened your heart about some areas that need to change in your life. I want you to come and find a place around here and do business with the Lord. Father, bless the invitation. Thank you for this account Jesus gave us of His disciples. So willing to do what seemed ridiculous, what seemed silly. And yet they followed You and experienced great success. Help us to be willing to follow You, even when it don't make sense. Bless those who need those decisions today, and bring the one who needs to be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you come today? Will you come? God speak in your heart right now. Will you come? Will you come?